Bless me. What we got here, then? Proper gent, I'd say. What's the trouble, Ansem? Too warm of a cold night, eh?
Today, if you shall hear his voice, harden not your heart, Laura Bell. For he cometh to judge the earth, and with righteousness the people.
What you say?
The Lord is king, and the earth may be glad thereof, Laura. Yea, the multitude of isles rejoice.
Here, how do you know my name?
Do not be faithless, but believe. Repent and be saved.
Hold hard. You ain't a peeler, are you? Oh, that's what you are. Got up in his Sunday best. Or I never see the scowl on a beak's face of a Monday morning. Look, I didn't mean no harm, sir. Honest, I'll tell you straight up.
Please, I am no peeler, as you term it.
What then?
I am an angel of the Lord.
Eh?
A messenger of the Most High, at his bidding, charged to post and haste o'er land and ocean without rest, from eternity to eternity. An angel. What is this? Please, why do you laugh?
An angel? Oh, straight, you meet some run-ons in this game, don't you? An angel, he says.
It happens to be perfectly true.
Well, I had a chappie once thought he was a Wellington boot, and another swore blind he was Mr. McCready the actor. But, here, if you're an angel, Covey, where's your wings?
Angels do not have wings. That is an absurd and tendentious fiction invented by painters whose only desire was ever to make money out of a credulous public.
Oh, know all about it then, do we?
Angels are incorporeal beings. Angels existed before the visible creation and have no dependence upon matter. Spurn the ministrations of an angel of the Lord sent to guide you in your ways, and you reject the gift of divine grace. You sin against the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost?
Think of that, Laura.
I mean, I've got to believe in ghosts as well as bleeding angels now.
Yes, well, there's a good deal to be done, no doubt. Give up your life of vice, Laura.
Life of vice? What, all this, like?
Of course.
But it's what I do.
Oh, poor abandoned creature, poor child of the night. Oh, were it for the gilded adulteries of Park Lane, still what you gain would be dross. But for this, the very peak of what West Ham can offer.
Gilded adulteries? What's this?
Well, surely you are aware, in the very heart of London, gentlemen of wealth and position, members of the established church, supposedly, are currently setting up their strumpets in respectable affluence.
Never.
I fear it is true. Oh. The dreadful Agnes Willoughby, first established in Mayfair by the tenor Giolini, more recently installed in Felbrigg Hall itself by the squire.
Agnes Willoughby? No, I never heard of her.
Then the wretched Catherine Waters, set up in Mount Street with no less than 5,000 a year by the Marquis of Hartington.
Catherine Waters, hold hard. Ain't she the one they call Skittles?
I beg your pardon?
Skittles? Yeah. I heard of her, all right. Went on a hunt with all the nobs once, and a gent says to her, Miss Walters, I see the wind has brought the colour to your cheeks. Blimey, says Skittles, you ought to see mine.
Don't you sail, tax the windward. Well, trim little crafters can't find a master, I'd say. Well, never mind, Doxy. Trade just bucked
up. Oh, can't you see I'm talking to this gentleman here?
Gentleman? What gentleman? Oh, look, I'll pike. You understand what you're worrying about, Doxy? Look, I just lost the old Australia Queen, see ya. Woolclapper, Mull Sydney. I got a belt full of guineas.
Oh, leave me be, I said. The gentleman's got first call.
He can't see me, Laura.
What bleeding gent? Look, are you playing a game with Joe Belcher, girl?
What do you mean he can't see me?
Aye.
Nor hear me. I am perceptible only to you.
Look, stop talking to the blasted air. Oh, if you're trying to make a joke out of me, there'll be strife, I'm warning you.
But if he can't see any air,
by crikey, knock it off! Now, Joe Belcher's money not good enough for you. Is that what you're saying, you dirty little whore? Please, no, I'm mighty, eh? The Queen of Rotten Sheba. Would you try a sailor man's fist down your throat?
Sanctus fortis, sanctus deus, bruise not the flesh that the Lord would spare. Unhand her.
Ah. Ah, where's the cinching? Sting a little trollop. Bloke shouldn't dirty his mitts. Slip under a brewer's dray, Doxy. Come on,
you made him go away. stop hurting me.
Yes, yes. Pure spirits have certain elementary powers over matter.
And he couldn't see you. He couldn't. So that means you must be a... I mean, you can't be, but you are.
My name is Azrafel. I'm a principality.
How much?
A principality. There are various ranks of angels. Seraphim, cherubim. You surely heard something.
You ain't there, are you? And yet I can see you. Yet, why?
Yes, Laura?
Well, why have you come to me? This way, I mean, special-like.
Because in his mercy the Lord has looked down from his bright throne and taken pity on your misery, squalor, and degradation.
Oh.
He has smelt the smell of your iniquity rising up to him, worse than ordure and corruption, and his heart has been moved.
Yeah, that's not a very nice thing to say, is it?
Our Lord is a Lord of truth, Laura.
Then you mean I'm just some sort of rotten pong around the place to be got rid of?
Oh, please. You have quite failed to come to terms with the difficulties and dismays of a woman's life.
Hey?
Plenty of women find existence a burden, but not all women stand on street corners. You have simply sold out to sin.
Oh, I have I?
Well, surely it's obvious. But be consoled, Laura Bell. Tonight the Lord has seen fit to point out to you how you betray both your sex and yourself.
Well, I don't know about all that. No, I'm blessed if I do. Calling a girl a bleeding stench.
Laura.
Oh, you can go back to your Lord, if that's all he thinks of me, Mr. Angel, and tell him he'd better get himself a nosegay. You bet. Orger. Corruption.
Wait, I didn't mean...
I've known some worse smells than me in my time, I can tell you. Rotten beaks. Peelers. No,
neither I nor the Lord intended...
Vickers! Oh, some right old vickers about.
It was figurative language, biblical imagery. Good heavens above. Quite recently, it was possible to speak to even the lowliest of mortals in the accents of the scriptures. But nowadays... Laura? Oh, Lord, Lord. He has given his angels charge over them to keep them in all their ways. Yet what a strange and often fruitless journey for the ministers of your solicitude, O Lord. Whither now, Lord on high? What new disappointment, what fresh damping of the spirit lies ahead of your servant, Azrafel?
Misery, degradation, the cheeky cat. I ain't miserable. No fear, cheerful as the day is long I am. Orger. I was bleeding orger anyway. Key. Angel. Funny sort of angel he was. Bit of a trickster, I reckon, yeah. Comic or something such off the rotten halls.
Finally got out, did you? What? Joe Belcher, Gussie. Yeah, us down the corner. I'll soon go tell where the likes of you live.
Yeah, now you push off, you hear me? I want nothing to do with you.
You ain't being asked, ain't I? Inside.
Oh, no, wait, I...
Didn't much like the way we left things, see? Oh. Business arrangement. You're selling and I'm buying.
I ain't, not tonight.
Why not?
Because I don't choose. Shove off.
You don't choose? Yeah. Yeah, you're too choosy by a long stalk, you are. Queen of Rotten Sheba, just like I said. But I know the rules in this game, girl, and my trade's as good as anyone else's. Now, how much?
Sling your hook, I said. Leave me be!
Ah, this place. Rotten room. Rotten bread, too. What? What's this under it? Oh, here. Here, where'd you get this, eh? Chipped around the edges. Mermaids all over it. I wouldn't throw up in that.
You give that to me. That poe was my mother's.
How much she charged it, eh? The price is there.
Give it here, damn you. What? Get out.
Look, who do you think he was talking to down the street anyway?
An angel. Give me me poe.
Angel? Here. You know some angels as well as mermaids.
Shut up.
It's where you get the feathers for that mad mattress, eh?
Angels don't have bleeding feathers. Or ignorant you are. Give it to me. Oh, you're orgy, see? Corruption.
Aye.
Me mother's chamber pot. Oh, thank the Lord.
Orgy? What's that one? This is,
what goes in here, Kobe? And what you are?
Aye. Now, hang on, Doxy. You think you can say things like that to Joe Belson and get away with it? You stinking little
slut.
No,
don't take on. You don't get up again.
Bleeding
I'll hit you, I will.
Angel,
you will just tell me.
The Queen of Sheba.
Don't come, pig! Oh, all I ever had from me mother smashed into a thousand pieces.
I Jules. Yes, Tony Crab, she's right. She is. All around me, feathery, flattened. Angel.
Oh, it is true. Degradation, squalor, misery. Why else would me mother's pow lie this minute in smithereens? Mr. Angel, sir, wherever you are, I've been a fool. You was right and I was wrong. My life is nothing but a bad smell, a hideous stench. I have failed to come to terms with the difficulties and dismays of a woman's life, and I am no longer content with standing on street corners. I hate. Mr. Angel, Azrael.
What?
Oh, sir, is it you then? Oh, thank the Lord. I didn't know where you could be, which way you'd gone even.
Why, towards Westminster. My next assignment is a minister in the administration of Lord Palmerston. Small hope, one would have thought, considering the government's unfortunate stance over the Corn Laws.
Oh, sir. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry how sharp I took you up when you said them things about me. I really am. About order and degradation and the rotten smell and corruption. You was only trying to bring me to my sense, wasn't you? But I was too sold out to sin to see it.
Laura. Why, you've been crying. I don't
know. Only I see now. The mermaid shattered beyond recognition. The one with the shells on her doodads in more bits than you'd credit.
Mermaids? What have mermaids?
My life is horrible. It's a filthy mess. The place I live in, the clothes I wear, the people I mess about with, it all stinks to high heaven.
Well, yes. Yes, I'm glad you see it at length. But have you come after me?
I'm giving it up. Changing it forever.
What?
Don't you believe me? Oh, it's true. Why should I endure the light of Joe Bleeding Belcher? Why should I be the world's slag heap? Why should I sacrifice everything decent I ever had? Even what my mother left me, poor soul. May she not look down on me angry for what happened tonight.
It's astonishing. Incredible.
I ain't gonna be a stench no more. I ain't gonna betray myself of me sex.
What is this creature thou hast made, O Lord? Vile clay in which, for all that, the spirit of truth and goodness riseth up. A contradiction in which the spirit ever wars against the flesh against the spirit, and yet the victory is to thy saving grace. Oh, praise the Lord, for he is great.
Hallelujah.
Extol his works, for there is no God like him.
Hallelujah.
Mighty is the Lord, and infinite his mercies.
Quiz that, miss. Not on a Friday, I said.
You didn't, Skittles.
I did.
What, an paying?
Ladies in our position is entitled to some consideration, Agnes. As I trust you never fail to remind the dear squire down there at Selbury Gall. Anyway, as I said, I just don't like being taken to the Metropole on a Friday. There's a very bad class of people gets in there for the weekend. Tradesmen and that.
Dear me.
Now, you stop that, Harry. What's going on up there? Mariah, are you letting that coachman mess about with you?
Well, he didn't mean nothing, Mum.
No, Miss Skittles. Sorry, Miss Skittles. Skip the hand.
Don't call me Skittles. Men, do you ever think of anything new, do they?
Never.
All fingers and fiddling and grabbing and squeezing. I wonder we get through life with anything like the shape we started out with. Well, I'm not having a slut for a maid. As I told you, walking enough, young Mariah.
Yes, Miss Skittles. sorry, Mum. Don't call me Skittles, I said. I don't even let the Marquis call me that. Except perhaps after he's had his Schweitzer's cock-a-tina.
Oh, I believe it's nearly time for tea, dear.
So it is. Oh, doesn't time fly when one is innocently employed and free of business cares, Agnes? Coachman, home to Mount Street.
Yes, ma'am.
The silver service, the cup that cheers, and all that.
Just as you say, ma'am.
Oh, stop it, Annie. Maria, don't encourage him.
A slice of lemon with your tea, Agnes. After the French manner.
As always, Skit. Catherine, my dear.
What do you mean, I can't hear? I don't want to talk to her.
Oh, you can't. This is a private house. Come out of
it. Look, I only want...
What's going on there, Maria? Do I perceive a commotion?
Begging your pardon, Mum, but this person barged straight in the street door, saying as how she had to see you and wouldn't take no for an answer.
Don't you call me a person. Oh. I never barged in, Miss Waters. I just tried to explain, polite as I could, that I didn't have no choice but to call on you and congratulate you and ask your advice, Miss Waters.
Congratulate me? Heavens above, Gail, whatever upon?
Upon overcoming the difficulties and dismays of a woman's life on this earth, Miss Waters, and upon dismissing from your life all degradation, misery, and squalor. As I am now vowed likewise to do, Miss, having seen the error of my ways.
Who on earth is this young woman, Catherine?
My friend, Miss Agnes Willoughby, asks who you are, Gail.
Oh, but Miss Agnes Willoughby. Oh, yes. You're to be congratulated too, Miss Willoughby. I've heard of you as well.
What do you want with Miss Walters and me, exactly?
I've come all the way from West Ham to tell you how I've seen the light.
West Ham?
Shall I send for the police, then? Have her chucked out?
Bless my soul, the Stratford side.
No, more down to Poplar Way, really.
She's just a common little tart.
And that's what you'll finish up if you don't stop letting a rotten coachman grope up your skirts. Ooh. Bring another rotten cup, you slut.
Just so that slut can have tea with you.
At least she's a professional slut by the sounds, which is more than we could say for some.
Ooh. And didn't no one teach you not to slam doors back at the convent?
Bless me, it's a funny sort of a world. She's the one with the letters of reference from the Sisters of St. Winifred.
Mm.
But you should see what goes on below stairs in this house. Footmen, grocery boys, anyone. And all for fun.
Mm.
You said West Ham, like you was familiar with it, Miss Walters.
West Ham? Oh, yeah. No, it was a long time ago now. I had only just come to London from Liverpool, where for a time I had been in the sporting world.
Sporting world, my eye. You used to set up skittles in an alehouse for stupid drunks to knock down.
I was in charge of innocent diversions at a place where gentlemen come to escape the curse of the commercial world. But West Ham? Well, that was the true beginning, as you might say. Hard on the feet, though. Them cobbles.
Oh, it's dreadful. And the wind along the Marlin Road. Oh,
cutting. Laura Bell.
Yes, Miss Ford.
And you need advice, you say?
I must put a final end to the stink and the degradation, Miss Waters. I must. Nothing else will do.
I see, yes, I can understand. What do you say, Agnes?
One could raise the question of regular baths, I suppose.
Regular baths? I had a bath last month.
Yes, a little more regular than that, love. Mm. Then less of the feathers in the hat and more of the simple good taste. Wear your hair long and trailing red skirts to go with it.
Bustles when you go out in a fur trimmed cape.
Wherever should I get all stuff like that?
Oh, you'll have a count at least three of the best London stores, naturally.
A count?
The first thing you purchase when you open them is a good déshabille.
Oh, there's nothing like a good déshabille to stop people closing accounts on you.
Blimey!
And you won't say blimey, where bless my soul or dear, dear me will do.
Dear me.
Ladies in our position needs to cultivate a few of the social graces, Laura.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm. With your profile, I can see you sitting in a bay window in a north light reading poetry.
aloud. But to do that, you'll have to learn to talk proper, like what Miss Willoughby and I do.
Begging your pardon, ma'am.
All right, Maria, leave the cup and push off.
But it ain't that, ma'am. Miss Cora Pearl has called.
Cora Pearl? Oh, starch me drawers now.
Oh, good. Ruth.
Cora Pearl? Hold hard. Ain't she?
Yes, yes, the queen of the demi-monde, the favourite of the nobility, the bosom upon which crowned heads have rested. Oh. The newspapers never stop going on about her.
Never.
But she's such a trial, Laura.
Mm. Oh, Skittles!
Oh!
Oh, sweetest Agnes. Mm. What a beautiful day. Since I happened to be passing, I thought I'd drop in and let you hear my new piano piece.
Oh, no, what have we done to deserve that?
And who is this little stranger in our midst?
Me, miss? Well, I'm just here because...
Are you a bird that your hat should sprout such feathers?
Aye?
Feathers are passé these days, child, unless they're ostrich feathers. But with ostrich feathers, one wears nothing else. I've just come from my pianoforte tutor. He says my new piece is as good as anything I've done.
Please, Cora, don't play the piano.
He was almost in tears by the time I'd finished it for him. I'll play it through twice, so you get the full effect.
Oh, help!
She's bad, Laura. Oh, God, she's really bad.
What is she doing?
Cultivating the social graces. Could have been tapestry or flower arrangement or visiting the poor. But no, she had to choose the piano.
Stop! Oh, someone make her stop!
Yes, I was wrong there, wasn't I? Go back.
No, no, don't go back, Cora. Just stop, dear. Please.
Oh, no.
The Langham Hotel. Yes, of course. Outrageous. Seventh floor, it seems. Oh, Lord. Put me not to rebuke in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy heavy displeasure.
Oh, go not from me, for trouble is hard at hand, and there is none to help me.
No, we will settle this matter, we will deal with it. Thy mercy, O Lord, will not be mocked.
Many oxen are come about me, fat bulls of Bashan close me in on every side.
Attend me close, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised rejoice.
So look here, you know, you'd better tell me.
I regret, sir. That is the sort of information that the Langham Hotel is not permitted to divulge.
Not even if I were to tell you it was in the national interest.
I beg your pardon.
Have a care. You'll never know who's listening, eh? Now, I'll tell you this much. My name's Critterton Jones. Right?
Delighted to be of service, Mr. Critterton Jones.
Well, if you'd been to Rugby, it wouldn't be necessary to add anything to that, I can tell you. However, you know of the sticky situation in Afghanistan at the present time.
Afghanistan?
Yes, yes, yes.
Why, from what one reads in the Times, there seems to be some trouble about an alliance.
The blighters won't throw in their lot with us. Prefer to chase after an alliance with the Bally Russians instead. Imagine that. Well, we know where we stand with Kashmir, the principal neighbouring state, but the attitude of the other tin pot kingdoms thereabouts remains problematic. So whether or not Miss Laura Bell is at this moment upstairs in your hotel with Prince Madranja of Nepal is germane to the issue. You understand?
Really, sir? I have no idea by what authority you're coming in.
Please, a decent discretion, if you don't mind. Now, if I were to mention a certain important office in Whitehall, certain grand old man...
Oh, Mr. Gladstone.
No names, for pity's sake. This really is the most devilishly sensitive business. Nations could totter, governments fall, old horse. No doubt of it.
Lift me from the grass. I die, I faint, I fail. Let thy love in kisses rain or on my lips and eyelids pale. My cheek is cold and white, alas, my heart beats loud and fast, oh, press it to thine own again, where it will break at last. There now, Prince Madranja, what did you think of that?
Oh,
Miss Laura Bell? I cannot tell you how uncommonly moving I found it. English poetry. It's something the like of which we have nothing whatever in Nepal. I die, I fail. and to hear you speaking those lovely words, seated in a bay window, in a north light.
Yeah. Well, we like to do our best for foreigners in dear old England, you know. Especially rich and handsome princes.
Oh, please, I'm not rich.
Oh, dear me. Thinking of that ruby ring you wear when you're all got up.
That ring is as nothing. The crown of my king contains over 50 stones such as this.
Bless my soul. That's the door. But you sent all your servants away just so you and me could spend a day or two alone, didn't you? I'll answer it.
Let thy loving kisses rain on my lips and eyelids spell. Oh, it is magnificent.
It is quite nice, really. Yes. Yes, can I...
Struth! Laura, this will not do.
Stone of crows.
I thought you had repented. I thought you had cast your old life aside like a soiled garment. Instead of which, I find you enclosed, closeted, in a leading London hotel with an Oriental nobleman.
How do you know I was here, for God's sake?
Do you think such things can be hidden from me? I was temporarily concerned with other matters, that was all. Off in the outer suburbs, attending to the needs of a certain Mrs. Henry Wood.
Mrs. Henry Wood, who's she?
A lady requiring inspiration rather than redemption. She's writing an uplifting novel, which she means to entitle East Lynne. It's almost unbearably moving in parts, where mother and babe are thrown out into the snow. Dead. And never called me mother.
Oh.
Who is at the door, please, Laura?
It's nothing to worry about, Prince.
Look. I can't talk now. You must see that, so push off. There's a time and a place for every bleeding thing.
You dare
to... Thank you. Not today. Yes.
Who was it? Oh, my dearest.
Oh, why, it was just a bootlace salesman.
A bootlace salesman? But on the seventh floor of the Langham Hotel?
Well...
I will not be dismissed in such a fashion.
Oh, cripes! You're in, but I closed you out.
Closed me? I beg your pardon?
Do you think human doors and locks can exclude me? Your eastern prince can't see or hear me, don't worry. Explain yourself, Laura Bell.
Laura, my dear, are you quite well? You look pale suddenly.
No. No, it's right as Saturday night, Prince.
No, this bootlace salesman, he sounds a most unlikely personage. I shall notify the management.
Oh, he comes from the management. Yes, with, spun gold bootlaces, you see, with the sapphire tips, yes, as supplied to the gentry.
Oh, I had no idea the British enjoyed such refinement. Spun gold bootlaces?
Will you explain yourself?
How can I, you great puddin'?
Puddin'? Huh? Well, what pleases puddin'? Oh, some further undisclosed luxury.
Prince. Now, why don't you go and lie down for a while? You must be tired after the last few days and everything.
I'm not tired.
Gee, old thing. Now, go off into the bedroom and I'll get you some tea.
Tea? But I don't require...
When it's fetched, I'll read you some more from the poetry book, eh? How about that, eh?
Oh, dearest young woman, you're truly... Oh, remarkable, Laura. You know your Shelley.
Oh, dare say I am. I'm obliging, isn't it? Have a nice rest, Prince. Oh.
You offend not me, but the Lord whom I serve, Laura. You blaspheme against him who will not be mocked.
Oh, you don't half make it difficult for a girl. Now, look, what's all the fuss about anyway? What's your gripe exactly?
You swore to me on the night of your conversion that your life would be entirely different.
Well, don't you reckon it is? What's the same between this and West End?
You confess that your existence was degradation and a stench, and that you meant to give it up.
Well, haven't I? Oh, there's not much degradation in this apartment, as I can see, Mr. Angel. And the only stench is the perfume of flowers in season, as supplied greatest by the management.
You mean... You thought my reference was only to physical stench and debasement?
Come again?
When I encouraged you to escape from the sheer squalor of your life, you didn't realise I was talking about the foul corruption of the spirit.
Which?
Oh, Laura, for pity's sake. That was the entire point.
Foul corruption of the spirit? Well, I don't know. What I've been thinking about is just overcoming the difficulties and dismays of a woman's life. Oh.
And, of course, serving my country.
Serving your... Well, what are you talking about?
You don't believe it.
Believe what? My dear child, it's about time I was told precisely what is going on here. You cannot conceivably be serving your country. That's an idiocy. You serve no one but yourself, Laura Bell.
Azrael, I trust that the Lord will not strike you with his flaming sword for that uncalled for aspersion, or demote you to... Cheery-bum.
Cherubim.
Like I said, but you just come down to the lounge with me while I order that tea, old fruit, and learn a few things about being closeted in leading London hotels with Oriental noblemen. Learn what it means not to be sold out to sin no more and to put England first.
Very well, Miss Bell. Now, I'm going to continue sitting like this with my back to you and reading my newspaper while you give your report. Begin.
All right, Azrael?
I'm all ears, I assure you.
Azrael, you'll have to speak a bit more clearly, I'm afraid.
Sorry. I have now been with Prince Madranger of Nepal for 3 days.
3 days?
Brave little creature.
As agreed, I did not press him on the matter in question at once. But when it seemed suitable, I asked him how things stood, and that was last night.
Am I to credit all this?
No, it's true.
It's outlandish, ridiculous, like something out of a Penny Dreadful.
Again, Miss Bell.
I put the question to the prince, as I said, and his answer was, they would.
Oh, bully! You're absolutely sure?
Asked him twice so there couldn't be no mistake.
Oh, it's beyond question, then, that if we were to send troops into Afghanistan, his king would support our action.
Beyond question.
Capital news. I must get back to Whitehall. We're in your debt, Miss Bell.
Oh, happy to help, Mr. Critterson Jones. Oh, sir.
England won't forget, don't worry. I pay for your tea, except that my God attention...
No, please, I'm quite a...
Brave little creature. Wonderful courage.
Righto.
I still don't believe it. What's it all about?
Well, Afghanistan. The Ruskies. If England has to chase them out, she's got to know which side a place like Nepal would stick up for, doesn't she? The government couldn't just ask the prince straight out while he was in London. That would have been too obvious. So, they had to find some other way.
You?
Oh, it's all for England, Azrael.
But it was gilded adultery.
Gilded? Fat lot of gildeds come my way, I must say. I think they must be half Scotch, these Nepalese. Anyway, the Lord can't really make out he's been mocked too rotten, can he? I thought he was on our side.
No, it's absurd. Farcical. These things can't be brushed aside in this fashion. The end does not justify the means.
Well, I may have my faults, Azrael, but I hope the day will never come when Laura Bell can be accused of being unpatriotic.
Unpatriotic.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I must go and read some more poetry.
Oh, monstrous.
It's true. I do that rather well. It's funny, really, when I can't properly understand a word of it.
Words fail me. Speak, Lord, for my tongue cleaves to my gums.
O thou who didst the bed invent, but frownest upon our lawful lust.
Oh, do be quiet. I didn't mean it literally. It's outrageous, that's all, insupportable. The race of men is devious, double-dealing. And women. Oh, women.
Ah, men.
So I ask you, please, Mr. Manager, sir. Where is my precious ruby ring?
I'm afraid I've no idea, Prince Madranger.
Where is it? All my time in England I've had it. Now when I must return to Nepal, it is gone.
And most regrettable, I'm sure. Ah, Mr. Crittenden Jones, he has looked in. From Whitehall, you know. Perhaps he could...
Yes, your highness. I'm dreadfully sorry at all that. My ruby ring, my beautiful ruby ring. It was given to me as a mere child by the old queen just before she was slain for concubinage. Well, I've kept it particularly ever since.
Are you sure you lost it on the premises, Prince?
Lost it? What do you mean? Lost it? This wretched hotel is mislaid.
Oh, please. The Langham Hotel cannot possibly take responsibility.
It's the bootlace seller. You've questioned him?
Bootlace seller?
Well, he would like my beautiful ruby. Oh, yes.
to attach to the end of one of his filthy bootlaces. My king will be most upset by all this. When I arrive in Nepal, I shall be forced to advise him.
Now, wait a minute, Prince. Let's not turn misfortune into politics. England will see you right, whatever the course the Langham Hotel may choose to follow.
Mr. Crittenden Jones, how dare you?
How much is the lost gem worth, would you say? 10,000?
10,000? You're mad, Englishman, like all your breed.
20, then. We don't want to haggle.
My ruby ring is priceless. Priceless.
Oh, I say.
Well, not to speak of what I suffer.
25. 30. 35. 40. 50. What on earth are you interfering in this for, you wretched little hotelier?
I do beg your pardon, Mr. Crittenden Jones. The excitement, you know. I was quite carried away.
35,000. Now, really, Prince, you can't expect HMG to go much above that.
Well, I'm beside myself. It would take one of your English poets to express what I feel.
Guineas, then. You understand what's meant by guineas.
Come in. I'm just...
So, Laurabelle, and what is the meaning of this, do you tell me?
Oh, Azrael. Oh, blow me. I don't know why you bother to knock if you're just going to slide in the bleeding room anyway.
A house in St. John's Wood, a staff of servants, abruptly acquired, Laura, and Her Majesty's government some £40,000 out of pocket.
£40,000? Really? Goodness, how do they come to lose an amount of money like that?
And don't play games with me. I was busy in Wimbledon. And Ursuline Nunn there thinks she's seen a vision of St. Michael, encouraging her to smite Mr. Disraeli and the Suez Canal Company as Joshua smote the Canaanites. In fact, it's the cheese they make in the convent dairy. Vile stuff.
Yeah, I don't get on all that well with cheese myself.
That ruby ring belonging to Prince Madranja of Nepal. Now, are you seriously going to tell me...
I could have been dressing, you know.
Again?
When you just barged in.
Dressing? Do you think the human body, clothed or unclothed, exerts some furtive fascination for me?
It ought to exert some bleeding thing. Far as I recall, I never heard you say a good word about any of us. As it happens, of course, I was doing my crochet.
Crochet? You?
It's harder than you'd reckon. Still, a lady's got to cultivate the social graces, hasn't she?
A lady? You'll never be a lady.
You want to bet?
You did steal that ring, Laura. You did.
Well, let's just say, Azrael, I've been thrifting.
Lies. Lies on top of theft and gilded adultery. Oh, what am I to do with you? You stole that ring because you saw quite clearly that neither the British government nor Prince Madranja himself could dare admit that for 3 days a foreign dignitary had been locked up in a hotel room with a cheap little London prostitute. Correct?
Not so much of the cheap, if you don't mind. What was cheaper about what I was doing than what he was? Oh, the British government come to that. He was the meanest prince I ever hoped to meet, that Madranja. And I worked hard.
Harlotry, Laurabelle. Whoredom.
I'd serve my country.
Licentiousness and carnality.
Don't use language like that around my house.
Your house purchased with immoral earnings.
Oh, this is as bad as the Bible, this is.
And what does the scripture say? To be carnally minded is death. Thus they were defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. One man among a thousand I have found, but a woman among those I have not found.
A woman?
It is the word of the scripture.
Ah, so we're back to that again. Me betraying myself and me sex. Not properly coming to terms with the dismays and difficulties of a woman's life.
Oh, were we ever anywhere else? You have rejected the mercy of the Lord, Laurabelle. He has sought to restore in you the image of his purity. And you have rewarded him with indecency, contempt, and distortion.
That's not a very nice thing to say.
It seems that too much I say to you is not nice. Well, I shall say it no more. No. The opportunity of salvation has been placed before you, and you have spurned it. I pray that you will someday regret your cynicism, Laura. But I very much fear you may not.
Azrael. Now, wait a minute. Let's be sensible. Azrael? Oh, blimey. Have you just slid out of the room again? Oh, Azrael. Come back! Azrael! I'm grateful, Azrael. I am honest. Today, if you shall hear his voice and all that. Look, you made me come up in the world, but
I couldn't be one of them mopses as waits on tables in the new aerated bread company tea shops, could I? Or one of the ones as rolls pills in the winners of Holloway's in Temple Bar. Oh, I'm not respectable enough, Astrophel. And what else is a girl to do? Oh, trouble with angels is I don't see things the way people have to. Human beings can't choose what they are. And women, what choice have women got? Born to be the sweepings, most of the poor cows, the filth, the stench, the degradation.
But all must love the human form.
Oh, split me. You play the piano real good, Miss Cora Pearl. How long have you been learning like?
My tutor says it seems like many years.
Yeah, well, it's real good. You don't know the Wild Colonial Boy, do you?
Is that in the classical repertoire, Mr. Commander?
Lieutenant. Lieutenant Joe Belcher, mate on the Manjarra Star, the butter and lamb packet from Sydney.
An Australian!
Why else do you think I want to hear the Wild Colonial Boy, huh?
Oh, Australian gentlemen are extremely open-ended, or so I hear. They weathered the dear professor would quite tolerate it. Whoops! Oh, quite wrong there, I think.
Professor?
Professor of music, my tutor.
Oh.
He's absurdly jealous of me. He says that if he cannot share my art, he might as well cling on to anything else that's going, whatever that may mean.
So, I mean, should I put a stop to it, Laura? Call the fire brigade. Say that a dynamite is downstairs.
Don't worry, Skittle. She'll stop playing in a minute, I'm sure.
She gets no better as the years go by, though, does she? In a way, I suppose it's a kind of achievement to be so bad at something. Yet, she should consider the poor professor. Now that she's no longer queen of the demi-monde and has only got him.
I always enjoy these salons of yours, I must say, Skittles. There's something to look forward to.
They've worked out quite useful, I hope, Laura. I only really started them up after the dear Marquis died. Well, give me the opportunity of meeting gentlemen again. It's so hard otherwise.
You couldn't go back to West Ham and stand under the street lamps again, you mean? No. Quite agree.
Laura! Oh, hey, what a common thing to say,
was it? Well, ours remains a pretty common trade, Skittles, no matter how we try to dress it up. Sometimes I feel I've spent my whole life trying to climb up out of a deep, dark hole. And now that I'm practically at the top where there's daylight, money, everything a girl could want.
Yes, Laura?
I'm still being used, Skittles. Used. The way women have been from Eve on.
Goodness.
Captain, this is my air, could you?
Deepest apologies, dear young woman. Slip of the hand, don't you know?
Mariah, keep serving tea. And button up that gaping blouse. People won't know what in the world you mean when you ask them one lump or two.
Yes, Miss Walters, ma'am. Sorry, ma'am.
And there's another one who doesn't change with the years. It's still going on like she was 16 and enjoyed it. I don't know. Only good thing is, we do get plumbers round quick as a flash any time the drains get bunged up in this house.
And who's this, eh, Miss Walters? Don't believe I've had the pleasure, Miss...
Bell. This is Miss Laura Bell, Captain Thistlethwaite. The captains and the guards, Laura, only just back from abroad.
How do you do, Captain?
Delighted.
Captain Thistlethwaite was telling me earlier, Laura, that if there's one thing he's partial to more than another, it's being read to out of the romantic poets.
What?
Skittles.
Oh, I say. But you don't care to read poetry, do you, Miss Bell?
Thank the Lord, she's finished.
I should play an encore.
No, Cora, dear. No, love. Don't play an encore.
Yes, indeed. Keats and Shelley, all that rot. My favourite fruit, as you might say.
I honestly don't read very well.
I'll bet you do, yes. Can just see you at it, in fact. In a bay window, what, north side, all that rubbish.
So, you're all alone for as long as you're in England. Is that right, Lieutenant Belcher?
Oh, that's the... Champagne? Oh, no, no, not for Joe Belcher. It's devil's brew, that stuff is. I never touch it.
Bless my soul, why ever not?
Well, I was vouchsafed a revelation from on high on one occasion, Miss Willoughby. Being grossly in liquor, I experienced a sudden explosion over me head, and there was all these angels telling me as how I was to change me ways before it was too late.
Oh,
yes, it was remarkable. But I took heed of the warning, and nothing stronger than Eno's fruit salt has passed my lips since.
Oh, I bet there's other things you still do, though, eh?
Maria!
Come down to the kitchen, Lieutenant. It won't cost you down there.
Knock it off, I say. Push off!
Oh,
well, I was telling you how to get to Felbrick Hall, wasn't I, Sailor?
Oh, well, I...
You go to Waterloo Station. Waterloo,
yeah.
The express as far as Guildford.
Well done!
So I'd be most grateful if you could oblige me, Miss Burley. What?
Oblige you by coming to your house, you mean, Captain Thistlethwaite?
Grosvenor Square.
And reading your romantic poetry.
Tuesday and Thursday afternoons. A regular fixture, if you like, what?
The Nightingale, the Grecian Urn.
Tosh like that. Top hole.
You don't actually care for poetry, though, do you, Captain?
Eh?
Tosh like that, you said. So it must be how I'd recite it that interests you. In a flimsy petticoat, perhaps, the straps gently slipping to reveal my naked breast.
I say, steady on.
Round, firm apples of desire.
Good
destroying Lord. Your self-control, Captain, so that unable to help yourself anymore, you tear off your dressing gown and leap towards me.
What?
Ripping the petticoat savagely from my body, you expose my mystery and my beauty.
Oh, I say.
You thrust me back on the couch, you fall on me.
Stop it, great Scott, woman, what's your game? I'd have you know I'm the nephew of the Bishop of Norwich.
Oh, well, in that case, you'll leave your dressing gown on, then.
Look here, have I got something wrong? I thought when I walked in this afternoon, just the normal sort of gathering. Choice to be made, price to be settled, what? So what's up? What's the matter with you?
The matter with me? Oh, if we only knew that, Captain. Degradation, perhaps, filth. Or else, of course...
Yes?
The foul corruption of the spirit. It's funny, really. I still never found time to think about that.
You're a rum one, you are. I'd put a chap off his stroke. Not at all the sort of filly de joie one expects to find at a shindig like this.
Not much of a woman, don't you mean by that? Not a wife, not a mother, not a daughter. And not all that obliging as a whore, either.
Oh, champagne at last. Well, that should cheer things up a bit, eh?
Hope something will, Captain Thistlethwaite. Hope something bleeding will.
Look at it bubble up! The real stuff, eh? Oh, this'll put a twinkle in a corpse's eye.
Steady! Oh. You all right there in the cab, miss?
I think so. Oh. What happened to
me? Whistling in the gutter, that's what. Broken axle for all I know. Hold on. I'll get the door.
Oh, goodness. Oh, that was a bump. But we can't go on.
No, miss.
It's a fearful night. Where are we exactly?
Elephant, miss.
Elephant and Castle. Hold on. There's a light over there. Light over that door. What is it, do you know?
Oh, that's the tabernacle, miss. Reverend Spurgeon's tabernacle.
Who's the Reverend Spurgeon?
Oh, Lord bless me, miss. And you never heard of Reverend Spurgeon? Huh? He's the most famous preacher in the whole of South London. Mr. Gladstone's been a hearing, miss.
Oh, there's shelter in there. Can you send another cab for me?
And where should I find one in this rain, miss?
Please try, Kevin.
Go, all right, miss. Just as you say.
Does not merely call us away from sin. He does not simply tell us to mend our ways and espouse virtue for fear of the judgment. No, my beloved in the Lord, Indeed, judgment will come, and we are right to fear it. None but a fool would not dread the punishments of God. But who is he who does good, even does good greatly, simply for fear of chastisement?
Excuse
such
me.
A one is a servant. Such a one is a bondservant, a slave.
No, pray, take it, sister, pray,
does, and he does
thank
it cravenly, with only resentment and hatred in his heart. But it is to the heart and its dispositions that he directs
us. Are you all right?
You're in the best of spirits, sister. Yeah, never better.
And what does he say? How does it read? Oh, listen to the words with care, my beloved in the Lord. Ponder the text I place before you tonight. Our hearts are restless till they rest in thee. Our hearts are restless till they rest in thee. This is what he says, restless. This is how you would have us, restless, to be doing his will, to be serving his name, and someday, obedience and service behind us, to be united with him. Our hearts are restless till they rest in thee.
Yeah,
which
look,
of us,
are you
seated
sure
in this tabernacle
right?
tonight, can truly say
yeah, quite
those
sure, thanks,
words
sister.
Describe the disposition bless of
you
his
for
heart,
your
my beloved in the Lord?
Terribly
one,
upset.
Two,
no.
A dozen.
I'm deeply consoled.
Do we not rather try to content
the Reverend Spurgeon's so moving,
our
you
material
know.
Goods,
yes.
Our present pleasures and
yes,
loves,
really.
As though it were our destiny to live for all time on this
nice.
Earth, and as
just
though we could
it.
Be seated on its imperfect joys. Oh, my beloved in the Lord, we are mistaken. We are fools. This earth and all it has to offer can never give us satisfaction. Our hearts are restless till they rest in thee. The Lord is what we crave. The Lord is what we crave. The Lord is what we seek. And until we do, to the exclusion of all else, we will experience only disquiet, aridity, and sore vexation of spirit. For does he not say in another place, like as the heart desireth the water brooks, so longeth my soul after thee. Ponder that text too, my beloved in the Lord.
He's right.
Soul
isn't
of
he?
Man. He's a first for his maker.
You move too, sister.
Sin, he spends most of his days in the belly of tears, trying to blind himself to it. But
for
even when he is in his outward
self,
his inner soul cries out.
Yes.
Then shall
God, that's what I experience. It is.
Quiet. Try not to be loose and noisily, sister.
But it's the truth.
Yeah.
My heart is restless.
It's restless.
I desire it, the water.
It is never too late.
Sister.
I've got to get out of here.
There is no time. It is not the right time.
It's terrible.
For attending to its impassioned
plea. Unhappy creature. Unfortunate sinner ruining other people's enjoyment.
He gives drink to the thirsty, peace to the troubled, rest to the restless. Will you not turn to him, oh, my beloved?
Ezra fell. Can you hear me? Wherever you might be, Chelsea Ealing, Brentwood South. Oh, dear, it's an awful night. But I've seen the light again, Azrael. I have. No fooling. Look, can you hear me? Please. I know you wash your hands of me, but I'm standing here in the pouring rain now to say it's different again. Catching me dead like it's not. Azrael.
Seen the light, Laura Bell? Well.
Oh, God. Oh, oh, it always gives me a turn, you popping up the way you do. But you heard me all right, even after so long.
Time does not signify where I am concerned. A thousand ages, an evening gone.
Wherever you was, then.
Distance is irrelevant, too. But I wasn't far away, as it happens. No, no, the Crystal Palace.
Oh, goodness, whatever for?
To observe tests being carried out on Mr. Daimler's new invention, the horseless carriage.
The witch?
Matter of some concern. Noisy, of course. Abominably smelly, like practically everything created by this sulphurous age. But there are those of my brother angels who fear it may actually be an invention of the devil. Lucifer, that is. Once one of us, you see, still possessed of the same prodigious intelligence and subtlety.
No, don't mess about, Azrael. Can't you see I'm repenting like mad?
Repenting? Well, you certainly seem upset, no doubt about that.
The tears are streaming down my cheeks.
It could be the rain.
Eh? Dear. Dear, what's going on? I mean, don't you believe I'm sincere or something?
I shouldn't really have come back to you at all, you know. You rejected your call to grace, and it isn't normal to issue another under such circumstances. But a cry from the heart, such as you uttered, what has happened to change things exactly?
I've heard the Reverend Spurgeon.
Spurgeon? You mean that fellow who set up a so-called tabernacle somewhere and reduces congregations to tears night after night?
It's just over there.
Ah, so that's the place, is it? Well, well. I'd often wondered.
We're just about soaked to the skin now. Oh, can't we talk somewhere else?
Oh, the rain, of course, forgive me. Sanctus fortis, sanctus deus. As the deluge drowned not Noah, let this miserable sinner also be dry.
Here. Blimey. You stopped.
Well, of course it has. But Spurgeon, my dear Laura, Pentecostalism, bless me. Well, I wouldn't for a moment wish to insist that repentance is the exclusive business of the established church. The knowledge, at least, that some entirely balanced rural dean is...
What's all this about? What you going on for? I haven't just repented, if you'd like to know. I've seen what's up with me.
I beg your pardon?
I'm restless till I rest in him. Like as the ark desireth the water brooks, well... Me likewise.
The divine discontent.
Eh?
You experience the divine discontent.
Oh, what are you talking about?
You! What an extraordinary coincidence. For it was me, me, Laura, who barely 20 years ago first inspired Mr. Charles Kingsley to formulate the concept in his celebrated Health and Education. Would you believe that?
Charles who? What's he got to do with anything?
Oh, nothing. He's simply extraordinary. Unaided, with only your own feeble reason to guide you, you have arrived at the emptiness of the dissolute life. You have understood that without the Lord, there can only be longing and dissatisfaction.
Azrael, what am I going to do? Please take it serious. I've got to make some big changes in my life.
You have, but only the changes that have been needed up till now. Give up whoredom, Laura. Abandon your life of license.
No more than that?
No more? Isn't that everything?
I don't know. I just felt that... There ought to be something more.
Domestic virtue, respectable marriage, family.
What?
An honourable arrangement. For the man is head of the woman as the Lord is head of the man. Let her be meek and put out her hand to the spindle. Thus in various places and manners, saith the scripture.
All nice and tidy, you mean? Wrapped up neat as a Christmas box.
I'm sorry.
Miss. It is the young lady, isn't it?
I say, you've really got women where you want them, haven't you? You and the Lord you serve.
How dare you make an insinuation like that?
You what? I beg pardon, miss. I come looking for you. There's another cab free.
Women have represented a particular problem from the very beginning. Who can find a virtuous woman? Far and from the uttermost coast is the price of her. Thus again, saith the scripture.
Oh, stow me. You're a useful sort of angel, aren't you? Are all the rest like you?
Aye.
Oh, a cab, you say? Oh, thanks very much. Some can be helpful when they like.
Did you hear Reverend Spurgeon then, miss?
I did indeed, cabby.
Yes, yeah. Wondered if you might have. Where you?
Laura.
Come with me.
For her price is far above rubies. favour deceitful, beauty vain. The woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Ah, Lord, help this poor member of the weaker sex to accommodate herself to her own limitations. Help the unlucky man with whom she seeks accommodation. Aye, Lord, aye, help him.
Amen.
She dwells in beauty, beauty that must die, and joy whose hand is ever at his lips bidding adieu, and aching pleasure nigh, turning to poison while the bee-mouth sips. I in the very temple of delight.
Well, go on, Laura, old girl. Don't stop there. Dashed good, that was.
Sorry, Captain Thistlethwaite.
I haven't an earthly what it was all about, of course, but it was enjoying it like billio. Oh, yes, top hole.
It's not really good enough, though, is it, Captain Thistlethwaite?
Hey, bally superb. And look, didn't we get it clear last time you came, once and for all, that you were to call me Gussie?
Gussie. Yes, it's a nice enough name. And he's right, I suppose. Domestic virtue, putting out your hand for the spindle. There's nothing else anyway, is there?
How do you mean, nothing else? Look, what's up? Could be I'm a bit slow today, but it seems to me you speak in riddles, old Bonaroba.
Well, it's me. Just come in here the way I do, isn't it, Captain Thistlethwaite?
It's Tuesdays and Thursdays, you mean? We could always make it Mondays and Wednesdays.
Come in here and doing the things I do.
Reading poetry? Well, yes, we can give that to Chuck if you insist. What we do afterwards that chalks up the old score, what?
That's what I mean. That sort of thing. Well, only husbands and wives should do that.
Eh?
Well, shouldn't they? Look, don't you know nothing at all? You are supposed to be a nephew of the Bishop of Bleeding Norwich.
Of course, yes. Oh, right with you, old cocotte. The catechism, all that piffle. But hold hard, I mean, are you trying to tell me something?
What do you think, Captain Thistlethwaite? Gussie.
You mean you and me, Laura? Us, so to say. The old ball and chain? Holy deadlock?
Why not? We've known each other quite a long time now, and we get on so well.
Oh, I say. Well, yes, I suppose it might be a bit of a wheeze at that. The old bachelor knight, the crossed swords, all that garbage. Never had that before. A wife. Yeah, it might even work out cheaper, eh? Yes, by Jove, mean totting up the old Tuesdays and Thursdays, eh? Quite a saving, what?
Resource was sleeping, his wife no sound did by, but counted the housekeeping and said, "Bless God and die." While hollow Fanny's snored, there stood Judy's sword displayed. He got his joy of her where the chicken got the blade.
Why do you do it? Why do you persist in your sin and wantonness?
Well, others may speak for themselves, Laura dear. But as for me, I haven't been concerned with sin and wantonness for some little time now. The dear Colonel, who so tragically got in front of his own guns last January, was most mindful of me in his will. And adding to that what the dear Marquis had already put my way, I lead a very virtuous life indeed. With Lemon after the Frenchman at Agnes, love.
So kind, Skittles dear. Oh, will this fog never lift its dense?
2 days of it is a waste on record.
But you keep up your salon, Skittles.
Oh, damn. You might as well be prayer meetings these days. So long since you've been. Oh, I almost had Mr. Gladstone last week, would you believe that?
Oh.
But he had to go off and stand for Parliament again somewhere. Cora.
Mm-hmm. It says on this piece of music, Andante cantabile. Now, does that mean fast or slow, I wonder?
She wouldn't recognise the French manner if it was slopped all over her in Royal Doulton, poor soul.
Ah, she's been all of a heap ever since the professor had to give himself up to the master in lunacy last August.
Milking first.
Laura, is it so much better living without sin and wantonness?
What do you mean by that, Agnes?
Well, you're the only one of us who actually got married, aren't you, dear? So you ought to know.
Perhaps I should just try it over on the piano to see, Skittles, dear.
Yeah, unfortunately, the piano's locked, Cora, love.
Then we must find the key.
We can't.
Oh!
The skivvy probably knocked it down between the floorboards or something. Maria! Oh, what's that girl up to now at her age?
Do you know? Yeah. I have even taken to bolting the area door to try and persuade her it's wicked and dangerous as an amateur.
Oh, has she managed to let in?
Being married? Well, it's a different cup of tea, all right, Agnes, but some things aren't as different as you'd think. No! You're still stuck with a disquiet, the arid, whatever it is, and the sore vexation of spirit. Your heart remains restless, Agnes. Being married doesn't put a stop to the divine discontent.
Have you been having the Bishop of Norwich to tea a lot lately, Laura?
Oh, you hear that? What's the good of issuing solemn warnings?
I'll have to go. She's letting someone quite unsuitable.
I think it's drown out unsisterly of you to lock the piano, Skittles. We'll get a crowbar.
We do no such thing, my good piano.
Laura, Laura dear, you are all right, aren't you?
Sorry?
The way you were talking just now, I mean, sounded funny.
Oh, don't give it another thought, Agnes. I haven't been moonstruck or anything. It's just, I've seen I'll never get to the Waterbrooks for being Mrs. Gussie Thistlethwaite. No, nor for being what any man wants me to be.
Oh, God almighty, now what's happened?
Oh, what happened?
It's terrible!
Laura! Laura!
Oh, an explain.
What happened?
Murder! Lying there, in the kitchen, in her own blood.
What are you talking about?
Mariah, the maid! Your
Mariah.
She's dead.
What?
Her gizzard slit. Cut with a razor from here to here. Oh, the stupid little sloth, the willful minx. I tried to warn her, didn't I? Tried to tell her to be careful.
It's
changed. It's all changed. He's not a safe woman like us. He's dazed. Only the fog and the dark streets and the shadows. You know that silly little pig finally let in, don't you? Jack the Ripper.
What did you say, Major? What?
I say, is that your wife, Captain Thistlethwaite? The lady preaching at the Polytechnic.
Preaching? At the Polytechnic? My wife?
She announces herself as Mrs. Augustus Thistlethwaite anyway. Young Wilberforce happened to be passing that way the other night. You know young Wilberforce from the mess?
Yes.
Attracted by a board outside.
Preaching? Some damn woman making out she's my grey mare and preaching? You've been at the whiskey, Major, what?
Really, sir? At 4 in the afternoon, even out east.
But damn it, man, women, don't preach. No, that's vicars and Scottish elders, howling cads like that.
Nonetheless, sir, there is this woman preaching at the Polytechnic. She's taken the grand hall there and speaks of the lustfulness of men and the exploitation of women.
Does she, by Jove?
At some length. She's described as a cross between that chap Spurgeon down at the Elephant and the new crowd that wear uniforms. What did they call themselves again? Yes, the Salvation Army.
So you may ask, by what right I stand here and speak of the sinfulness of men and how it destroys women? Well, I stand here by the best possible right. Not because I'm a minister of religion or a student of the Bible or anything like that, but because I have experienced sin. I have fallen victim to the deceits and allurements of wickedness. I've learnt that the wages of sin is death. And death can come when you least expect it. A thief in the night. A blade in the fog.
If you want to know how deep in sin I was, then I'll tell you. It's not that I'm proud of it, but it's my duty before heaven to say how far from the water brooks I was enticed. Well, I was a street girl.
Oh.
A whore. Yes, I went with men for money. I sold myself to their lusts and passions. I was degraded, despised, looked on as nothing better than orgy. And who gained? Only sinful men and their sinful needs. But just when I was most abandoned, most betrayed, an angel came to me. An angel from heaven. Well, don't you believe that? Don't you believe a fallen woman can have a visit from an angel? Who else is there to care for her plight? Men? The men who ruined her and only want to go on ruining her. No! Who else but the Lord in his mercy? Hallelujah! The Lord has come. The Lord has sent his bright angel to minister to unhappy women in their sore distress.
Hallelujah!
I was used. I was a victim of sin. The lust of men did its best to conquer me. But the Lord in his mercy raised me up.
Rock of ages, care for me. Let me
hallelujah
in myself in praise.
I tell you, Jack, she just gets up there on the platform and says it all.
What every valley thing.
She used to be on the street, by heaven. Doesn't withhold a single secret of the old life of vice. Might as well drop her unmentionable.
I say, what for a thistlequake? What a wheeze. Must be a dash good evening, eh?
Oh, better than the gaiety, I can tell you.
Poor old thistlethwaite, look at... You don't think...
Talking about me, are you?
Great heavens, sir. No, sir.
Captain Thistlethwaite.
Yes, yes. Know what chaps are gassing about these days when they slope off into corners and giggle like you crowd? Only one topic of conversation, eh? Eh?
I assure you, Captain.
Well, it's all lies. On the streets, piffle. All that about angels proves it. Woman's off her block. Something amusing you, Lieutenant.
No, sir. On the contrary, sir.
And preaching. May have to certify the silly cow. What the Bishop of Norwich advises, I can tell you.
Indeed, Captain.
Oh, most distressing, sir.
Damn it, man, there's nothing funny.
Not laughing, sir. Cash in the thread.
I mean, it's bad enough a chap getting nagged over the breakfast table. But he's going to be nagged from the pulpit as well.
Oh, yes. Frightful.
not to be born.
Oh, how I now regret the fearful way I let myself be used by lustful men. With what remorse. With what dismay do I not look back on my days of bondage? I pray for all, and for you here tonight, that lust and the desires of the flesh may have no more dominion over you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Father, you wish to testify?
Testify? Well, that's what it's called. Joe Belcher, my name is. Captain Joe Belcher, skipper of the old Southern Cross. Refrigeration twin script from Sydney. Brothers and sisters, this little lady has helped me see the light tonight.
Hallelujah.
I've seen the light once before, mind. It broke in 1,000 pieces over my head and myriad angels swore me off the booth. Now it looks like I'm being sworn off something else. Well, that only leaves the old pipe. But then we wasn't put on the earth to enjoy ourselves, was we? No bloody fear. You try unbuttoning into the wind aboard a square rigger in the typhoon sometime. Now I say we ought to dig deep into our pockets to show our appreciation for the way we've been bugging about tonight.
Oh, Captain, that isn't...
No. With no feet to go back to... You need to find some other way of paying for the guests and that, Mr. Thistlethwaite. Now, we'll use my cap here, and I'll start with a guinea piece.
Oh, hallelujah!
Now, don't be stingy. Oh, thank you, there you go. It isn't every day you get saved, and if it doesn't set you back a bob or two, you might forget about it. Thank you.
Praise the Lord!
Praise
the Lord. Oh, yeah, what's this? Threepence? Oh, God. You'll buy yourself a nice comfy seat in heaven, aren't you?
Praise him for his mercy. Praise him.
Praise him. Preaching.
My bally wife. Night after night up on our hind legs like a dog. Yapping. Laughing stock. Gussie Thistlethwaite's become a damn laughing stock. Where is it? Can't stand any more of it. Whore. Well, knew the little trollop was a whore. Didn't mind that till she began shouting from the rooftops. Why, for God's sake. Long time since she was on the streets. Decent silence. Discretion, all that sewage. Ah. Can't go in the mess anymore. Daren't go to the club. Can't even go for a stroll in the park without fingers pointing at me. Pointing. And the Bishop of Norwich won't acknowledge me as a relative. He laughs at me too, though. Oh, yes, even him, that so-called Christian gentleman. Over the port of a night, him and his rotten deed. Do you hear, Laura? Do you hear the laughter? All over London. Clear down to Surrey every time you open your blasted mouth. Sussex, for all I know. God damn you, what sort of a woman are you? How could you do such a thing to me? I gave you a position in life. Made you respectable. Preaching. Only one thing to do. Only one honourable course. And you drove me to it. You damn little...
Tonight, the Grand Hall of the London Polytechnic. This is Laura Thistlethwaite, the celebrated evangelist, who preach on the text. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Psalm 91, verse 2. Oh, Lord, this creature thou hast made. Shall Azrael, thy servant, ever understand it? Ever?
And so he says in another place, today, if you shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now, that text means a lot to me, my brothers and sisters. It was the first thing the angel spoke to me when he came to me in my squalor and degradation, when I was yet in subjection to evil men. So you hearken to it too and be saved, women from the lusts of men and men from the abuse of women. Hallelujah. And now, as you know, I am available for private consultations. Passing out, you may be interested to inspect the range of Dr. Merridew's curative potions displayed in the lobby. For a very small sum, you can purchase sovereign remedies for bronchitis, lung gripe, women's complaints, and cancer. May your angel be ever at your side. Amen.
Amen.
Oh,
God bless you.
So, Laura Bell, or should I say the Reverend Mrs. Thistlethwaite?
Yes, Raphael. But bless my soul, where did you... Well, aren't you the stranger these days? Must be years and years.
Years are not what matter. I have been on other duty.
Come behind the curtain if you want to talk.
Your wretched clientele can't see me. Surely it isn't necessary to remark on that kind of thing anymore.
Wretched? These people? Oh, they're as bad as you wouldn't let me be, Azrael. You showed me my way to the divine discontent. So it's my business to show them theirs.
What do you mean?
Behind the curtain, I said. They'll think I'm balmy if they see me talking to myself. Right. Now, I can spare you 5 minutes.
5 minutes? You offer to spare me?
Well, there's my private consultations, Azrael. People are waiting.
That's the first thing. You have no right to be giving private consultations. You are not a minister of the gospel.
And there's the money from Dr. Merridew's curative potions to be told.
And that is outrageous. Why, I can hardly believe it as I pass through the lobby, selling patent medicines in the name of religion.
The Reverend Spurgeon endorses Carfax's customs.
I do not wish to discuss the Reverend Spurgeon.
Anyway, I'm a poor widow now, Asraphel, with my husband gone on before. I need to have some sort of income, don't I? And the labourer is worthy of his hire. Even the scripture saith that.
Your husband killed himself precisely because of your alarming activities. Don't you realise that? You should be down on your knees begging forgiveness, Laura, not seeking justifications in his death.
I was just meant to repent nice and quiet, you mean? Come in off the streets grateful and melt away where I wouldn't be seen nor thought about any more?
Others have done it. Females with a sense of proportion. The Magdalen retired to a cave in southern Gaul, so tradition insists. A certain enduring shame.
Oh, the Magdalen. So females have still got to be put down hard, have they? Their sins are worse than men's because they was made to be meek and subject and busy with spindles.
It is the way the Lord of Lords ordered his creation.
Who says that?
The scripture. The scripture is also quite specific on the point that a woman may not open her mouth in the assembly of the faithful. Let women keep silence in your churches. It's a particularly celebrated text.
I see. So me and the Magdalen are expected to put up and shut up, are we? Even though we've got something important to say. Like it's the customers more than the girls who should go off into the caves.
Oh, really? Male lust doesn't come into it. The scripture condemns that, too. A woman should look to the consolations, Laura. Rejoice in those things that the Lord has given her. If a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her.
God help the plain ones, then. They can't even be pretty dolls, can they? Oh, no, Asraphel. You taught me what it was to be unhappy. I'd never known before. Not properly. And for a start, it didn't seem so great either. Then old Spurgeon rubbed things in, and I learnt that until you'd been unhappy, you hadn't lived.
Mrs. Thistlethwaite, your first consultation, Mum, in the ante room.
Oh, thanks, Charlie. Is it?
Indeed it is, Miss.
Right. I'll come at once.
Very good, Mum.
You come with me, Asraphel.
Please, what has this to do with me? I'm not concerned with your wretched consultations.
Beings like you, angels, pure spirits, you need to wake your ideas up a bit.
What?
Especially about the Lord of Lords. Look, if we're still going on about what the scripture said, how about that bit that says what he really wants to do is cast fire upon the earth? Fire upon the earth, Asraphel.
As to that...
Here.
Ah, my dear Mrs. Thistlethwaite, how good of you to see me again.
Always a pleasure to spare time for you, Mr. Gladstone.
Mister? Oh. Did you say mister?
Your sermon tonight, dear lady, so moving, so deeply affecting.
It's your interest as inspires me, Mr. Gladstone. Would you mind, Asraphel? Consultations are private.
But this is impossible.
I beg your pardon, dear lady.
Sorry, Mr. Gladstone. Could you give me just one more moment?
Of course, of course.
Mr. Gladstone is a great friend of the Lord of Lords. It is a well-known fact. But surely he goes too far when he comes here and...
You give me such heart in my work for fallen women.
I'll have to go now, honest Asraphel.
But it's insupportable.
Fire on the earth. Yes, it'll be a nice big blaze if I have anything to do with it. And it's your doing more than anyone else's.
I still
refuse...
So
I'm grateful, Asraphel, truly. Always remember that. You've made my life all shiny new. Like it had been, well, brushed by angels' wings. Goodbye.
Laura...
So, Mr. G?
Yes, dear lady.
How's the Home Rule Bill coming?
Laura. Mr. Gladstone. Lord of Lords.
In thy name, O Lord, I go.
Yes, I suppose so. No point in staying here, anyway. My work is a dismal failure. Or, of course... No success.
My daily labor to pursue the only thee. resolve to know in all I think or speak or do.
Thee, only thee, Lord. Lord of all creation, how long shall thy servant strive to do thy bidding, and yet be confounded by thy will? A mystery, Lord. A great mystery, when the breath of life entered the clay and the creature called man stood upright in the garden. A deeper, darker mystery, when from man, as he slept, was formed the creature called woman. Who shall fathom the unsearchable ways of God? Who shall know his mind? Certainly not those who stand at his right hand, whose office is to serve, but never, never to question.
Miriam Margolyes played Laura, and George Cole, the angel, in Laura and the Angel by Bruce Stewart. Skittles was Elizabeth Sladen, Agnes, Norma Ronald, Cora Pearl, Eva Stewart, and Mariah, Alison Draper. Captain Thistlethwaite was Eric Allen, Belcher, Bruce Stewart, Crittenden Jones, Philip Manicom, Prince Madrandra, Madhav Sharma, and the Reverend Spurgeon, Anthony Newlands. The Major and Mr. Gladstone was Philip Voss, Cabby and Lieutenant, Barclay Johnson, and the manager of the Langham Hotel, Pavel Douglas. Laura and the Angel was directed in our Bristol studios by Martin Jenkins.